Greetings, couch potatoes across the country, around the world, and on the internet. I'm Kevin Carr.
And I'm Neil Miller, and you're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies. And welcome to the show.
We've got a great show for you. Is that what you said?
Yes, this is your great intro. We've got a great show for you this week. Plenty of movies to talk about. We've got Ben Affleck's directorial debut, Gone Baby Gone. We've got a war movie, Rendition, with Reese Witherspoon and her puppy dog eyes. We've got Things We Lost in the Fire, which seems to be the story of various web servers involved in fatguysthemovies.com.
Yes, not my fault.
We'll explain later. We've also got a vampire.
Which is also like a war movie because, you know, you feel like you've been beaten down by it. We'll get to that later.
Yes, we've also got a vampire movie, 30 Days of Night,
Alaskan
based on the
vampires.
Groundbreaking graphic novel by Ben Temple Smith and Steve. It was very groundbreaking. I'll let you read it.
Well, okay, I'm sure it's great, but how was it? I'm just curious because
Clive Barker said it was one of the best graphic horror novels that has kind of told the pain story of the through the eyes of the victims.
Oh, okay.
It's very cool. I'll let you read it.
If Clive Barker said it, I'll give it to
him. It was originally written by Ben Temple Smith and Steve Niles, who is a good friend of the show. And we're also going to talk about the comebacks.
Woo!
Briefly,
because they didn't show it to us. We said weeks ago there's no chance that they're going to show this to anybody.
And, of course, they didn't. But before we get into all of that, let's talk about where you can get a hold of us. You can get a hold of us at the newly redesigned fatguysatthemovies.com.
If
you can connect to the site, it's there. You can also catch us on iTunes, the safest and most reliable way to get us. Just go to the iTunes store and search Fat Guys the Movies, and we pop right up. You can also email us, fatguys@filmschoolrejects.com, or you can give us a call, area code 614-388-8735.
All right, well, let's jump right in.
Do it.
Let's do the reviews. We're going to start with Gone Baby Gone.
Elaine puts her to bed. She goes across to Dottie's, then she comes home, and Amanda is gone.
A four-year-old child is on the street. If we don't catch the abductor by day one, only about 10% are ever solved. This is day three. You ever investigated an abduction before?
Half the guys you know are degenerates.
And you know what the other half are?
What?
Cops. Don't hold it against me.
And in this movie, they're searching for a little girl who's been abducted,
yes.
If I'm correct.
Not a baby. Well, sort of.
They also were searching for Ben Affleck's career.
Yes,
because it has also been abducted.
Because, well, you know, he likes his women rough and strong. Yeah.
But this is, and this is interesting because it's his directorial debut, and it's getting a lot of good acclaim. And I didn't see it because I'm a lame film critic.
That's
but
right,
you did. So
I
what
did see it.
What
yes.
did you think?
It wasn't bad. I mean, I was impressed with Ben Affleck because I always have been saying, like, because when he comes off in interviews, he doesn't come off as a nice guy, I'm sure, but doesn't come off as the most brilliant person in the world. Just listen to his commentary track on Armageddon, and you might think that maybe Matt Damon had a lot more to do with the writing of Good Will Hunting than he did, even though I didn't like the movie. But this one's not bad. I thought he did a decent job, and he directed his brother, Casey Affleck, who does a really good job acting in it. The performances are good. It's not a perfect movie, but trust me, I've seen a lot of first-time efforts by actors, and this was by far in the top half of those.
Yep.
That's a stellar review
Excellent.
For that, I guess.
So if you had to give it a grade?
This one's a three-star out of... I'm sorry, not stars. Kind of rocks.
Kind of rocks? Okay, yeah. Cool.
That's I'm just not in the mindset tonight.
I'm going to see it. I just missed it.
You'll see it, yeah. Would they send you the screener?
Yep. Well,
it's a Miramax movie. They'll
we're
going to
do a little
you.
Kevin Carr rapid fire. We're going to move on to our next film.
That's right.
A little bit of a war movie, Rendition.
CIA calls it Rendition. Basically, the government has authorized the transfer of anyone they think might be a terrorist to prisons outside of the U.S.
Prison.
Explain the phone calls, then we can all get out of here.
I can't.
Explain the phone calls.
He's not giving us any answers. It's not working.
This is my interrogation. You observe nothing more.
There are 7,000 people in central London alive tonight because of information we elicited just this way.
Neil, I'm beaten down. I have been beaten down this week.
Were you taken and put on a plane and taken to North Africa and tortured?
I felt like I was because I had to sit through the assassination of Jesse James by the coward Robert Ford, which we'll talk about that next week because there is not enough time in this show to express my loathing for that movie. But then I had to go see Rendition. I had to see Things That We Lost in the Fire. I am so tired of award flicks. I'm so tired of significant, weepy dramas. And that's what Rendition... I'm tired of seeing Reese Witherspoon's puppy dog eyes in this whole movie.
I missed all these movies, and I'm tired of them.
Yeah, it's one of those things that people are just like, oh, my, oh, another movie about...
I just want May to come around so that we can watch Iron Man.
Yeah, I mean, that's why I love... It was such a good summer for just sort of like mainstream, exciting, fun stuff that...
Transformers.
That, yeah, well, Transformers was good. But, I mean, the other stuff was good. There was really only a couple real stinkers.
Yeah.
And now we're in the war season, and nothing's really grabbing me. And it's just... Rendition is preachy. It's got too much... It really puts a straw man argument, and it puts this all up as sort of like, well, this is what's going to happen, and you know, this guy maybe made these calls, and we're going to extradite him to South to North Africa, and it just, it's this house of cards that just makes no sense.
I agree.
It sucks.
Give it a fat guy's
rating.
Sucks. All right. And the next movie we're going to move on to is a little bit of more award season bait, starring one of my favorite ladies, Halle Berry.
Yes.
Things We Lost in the Fire.
Your dad was my best friend.
When?
When I was your age, last week.
Thanks for coming.
Sure.
He was so loyal. Most people would have given up on you, but he didn't. Here's the deal. You can move in, get yourself situated, and you can pay me rent.
I don't need your charity, Audrey.
I'm the one that needs the help here. I need you to stay. Can you just stay for a little bit? Yeah. I'm never gonna feel happy again.
Oh, I'm sorry. Hold on a second. I needed to wake up after that. That's my review.
Okay. Fair enough to say that it sucks.
It sucks. This movie was so dull. It's about a woman who's widowed, and she befriends her ex-husband, who was dead because he's been divorced. His friend is a heroin addict, and at one point she's like, I want to take heroin because I want to escape, and I wanted to escape this movie.
Okay.
That's my opinion.
Actually, I was talking to Brian Gibson.
Actually, we're out of time. We got to take a break.
Oh, no. And we're back, and Kevin, like I was saying before we went on the break about Things We Lost in the Fire, I was talking to Brian Gibson.
Which you didn't see either.
Which I didn't see, but Brian did. Brian at Film School Rejects. And he said that it was one of those movies where halfway through the movie, he wanted to walk out.
Yeah.
But he knew he had to sit there and see it. It's one of those painful movies as a critic to see.
Well, it's one of those you kind of don't want to walk out just in case the werewolves show up in the last 20 minutes. And you go and you write your review and you say, this is the worst movie ever. And it was the most boring. And people are like, no, it was amazing at the end.
Werewolves
came in and ate everybody. You'd be like, oh, I missed it. And I should have stuck around.
Nice.
But there were no werewolves. Trust me, there are no werewolves.
From werewolves to vampires.
See?
Next movie we're going to talk about. Great segue to 30 Days of Night.
Board the windows. Try to hide. They're coming. That cold ain't the weather. That's death approaching.
They're tearing through everyone's home.
We can last the month.
And as you heard at the beginning of that clip, you heard the voice of Ben Foster.
Who got a little old in the movie.
Who was awesome in this movie.
He was cool. I'm getting tired of Ben Foster, though.
All right.
That's
well,
my only... I mean, I do...
Despite your feelings about Ben Foster as an actor showing up in every movie, he made this film as the stranger. He plays a stranger who comes to town...
There were good scenes, yes.
...ahead of these vampires who are coming to Barrow, Alaska, where there's a month worth of night.
Sort
and
of. That's really not how it works.
The vampires
in Alaska,
come
but,
in and yeah. eat everyone. And I have to tell you, I have a long history.
That's the ending. They eat everybody. Yeah. And they go home. They pick
long,
their teeth and drink.
We have a
some
long
wine.
History on this show of you making fun of me because I don't like the horror movies, mm-hmm. and I'm a big pansy, and I, admittedly so. I loved this movie.
I saw you run screaming around the theater
this
when
movie
gore
was,
happened.
It was intense. It was scary as all heck. And I tell you, I'm a huge David Slade
Watch
fan.
Watch the language there, buddy.
If you go back to 2005, David Slade made Hard Candy, which is one of my favorite movies of 2005. Very twisted
you,
film.
You found something personal in that, is what you're saying.
In the pedophilia?
Yeah.
No. I tell you, this has to be one of the best vampire movies I've ever seen. Now, I'm not going...
Did you see, what, like six? I mean, come on. We don't see horror movies.
I'm sure there are some that I didn't see from, you know, pre-1995. Or, you know, I didn't really see much before John Carpenter's Vampires. But this
you
is the best
You stick to the
vampire
PG-13
movie.
Vampire movies.
You talk
movies.
About Blade. You talk about John Carpenter's Vampires.
Well, wait a minute. You just named two of, like, the lamest vampire kind of movies.
There aren't really that many great vampire movies out there.
What about the original Dracula?
Well, see, I didn't see that one, so I'm saying this is the best one I've ever seen.
Okay, that would be like me saying that's...
What I loved about it was they don't humanize the vampires. There's no great, epic, good versus evil battle. It's the vampires are bad, they're mm-hmm. evil, they want to kill people, they want to eat people, they want to go, like, hide in the shadows again. It is disturbing, but it was awesome. It's in my top 10 right now for the entire year. I'm going to say totally rocks.
Totally rocks.
Yeah.
Better than Transformers?
Not better than Transformers.
What if there are Transformer vampires in this movie?
Almost as gripping as Transformers. Almost as intense of an experience as you're going to find.
I don't know. This is the thing. When I first saw this movie, I wasn't really thrilled with it. But then I went through the week of watching Jesse James and Rendition and Things I Lost in the Fire. And in retrospect, I come back and I go, no, you know what? Just a big, dumb, bloody action movie, and I'm cool with that. And there were some things I thought were silly. First of all, it's not like in Barrow, Alaska, the sun goes down for 30 days. You have a gradual night
crawling up. Well, there's some creative
license
taken there.
There's a lot, yeah. And, I mean, the vampires are okay. I've seen better vampires. I've seen a lot worse vampires. This is better than Underworld kind of thing. Of course, you didn't have Kate Beckinsale in leather, so that was a downside.
But we did get Melissa George.
In, okay.
She's.
I know you prefer
by far the best looking woman.
She was in Alaska in a giant coat, so there was nothing.
That's as good as
this
a woman
wasn't
can
like
look
Teresa's
in a giant
where she's
coat.
Running around in a bikini.
But seriously though, that's the best that anyone can look in a giant coat like that.
Sure. Okay. I know that you were jonesing for Josh Hartnett in the movie, but no, I mean I'll give it to you. It had great action. It had great violence. It was good. There were some goofy things in it, but I'll tell you for the weekend, the best one out there.
Easy.
Because, my God, I don't want to see it.
Right now, it's
Oscar
my pick of the month. We're halfway through the month, and
yeah,
I haven't seen anything else.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. There's been nothing that's really lighting my fire.
Yeah.
And we got, like, Dan in Real Life and Saw coming up next week.
So. Oh, can't wait.
All right, well, speaking of movies that you really can't wait for, let's talk about The Comebacks, which is from Fox Atomic.
Which usually
their
does
first
crappy
non-horror
horror
movie. Yeah. Yeah, usually they do horror films. Not crappy ones. They did what do you call it? 28 Weeks Later, which I love.
Oh, all right, fine. I'll give them that one.
So, but this is here it is.
The washed up coach.
Name's Lambeau Fields.
With one last chance.
All right, let's close our eyes, bow our heads. Okay, you can open your eyes again.
The underdog team of misfits.
Why don't you act like a barbell and get benched?
Violence is not the answer!
And the bartender from Philadelphia, whose only dream was to play ball.
I'm just a bartender from Philadelphia whose only dreams are to play ball.
Wow. This one reeks.
This one, the one thing you can be assured of, at least.
Is that Champ Kind will show up at some point?
Well, is that this movie's going to be better than Epic Movie.
I was just going to say, it kind of reminds me of that Epic Movie vibe.
Well, and I'm glad that they didn't just call this sports movie or something like that. Inspirational sports movie. Because you had Date Movie, you had Epic Movie, you had Scary Movie. They didn't screen this for critics. Coming into it, I knew weeks ahead of time. They sent me a shirt, but weeks ahead I knew they weren't going to screen
this. They thought they could buy
this.
Your love without a screening.
Yeah, and it's like too small for me. So thanks for the insult, you jerks. So my wife wears it to bed. That's like, you know. So
nice.
This movie is going to be bad. That's all I can say. It's a preemptive suck. I'm going to go see it, but you know. But the interesting thing is it got an R rating and they appealed it and got a PG-13 rating.
Okay.
So
interesting. You're going to take your kids, though.
I'm taking my kids.
Sweet.
I don't have a babysitter, and, you know, hey.
Nice. Well, stay tuned, filmschoolrejects.com over the weekend. Hopefully we'll have a review from Kevin Carr.
Yeah, at some point.
Yeah.
Well, if I'm going to go see it, because nobody's seen it, so I can get my, you know, the one.
Oh, yeah,
you'll
be like number one guy on Rotten Tomatoes in the morning.
It has a 0% rot because of one guy.
Because of Kevin Carr.
Because of me.
Well, you're influential like that. But we got to go to a break. We'll be back in a moment.
if I was lonely, I'd burn out slowly like a cigarette when you kiss me.
And welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies. And whoa, wait, newsflash, Neil, newsflash. Just came in. Apparently, I'm a racist.
Now, Kevin, why would someone say that?
Because I didn't completely get down on my knees and slob on Tyler Perry's knob.
Well, you should have, because apparently whatever Tyler Perry did last week with Why Did I Get Married did well, because this segment is all about the box office, and it won the box office last week with $21 million. But what we are talking about here is a little bit of a comment thread over at filmschoolrejects.com on your review.
That's right.
Where
people complained that I gave my opinion.
Yes. And I quote, I would even venture to say that your so-called movie review is nothing more than racist and sexist rhetoric.
That's right.
Would you like to respond, Mr. Carr?
It's absolutely true, because I gave my opinion, ergo I must be a racist. The thing is, in the review, I come out and I say, look, I am a white, middle-aged, suburbanite guy.
And a racist.
No, I didn't say that, but I point out, I'm like, look, I'm not... This is not
the target demographic.
I'm not the target demographic. And with that said, this is what I didn't like about it, and this is where I found problems with it. And in fact, the stuff that I pointed out I didn't like were stuff like I thought the characters were a little bit shallow, or I thought that it resolved itself too easily, and I thought that it went on a little too long. And those were the things that I complained about. I didn't sit there and say I didn't like it because there were too many black people in this movie. That's not what I said. And I also said it's directed at a black audience because every single character in it, with the exception of about two or three one-liners in the beginning, are black people. I'm like, okay, that's cool. I don't care. I'm not complaining. But obviously it's for a black audience or an urban audience. Because one of the actresses is not, she's half black, half Filipino. I mean, it's not strictly black.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, first of all, it's for a black audience. Second of all, it's for a female audience. A lot of Tyler Perry's movies are geared much more towards females and women.
Well, I mean, he did dress up like a woman in a few of them.
Well, yeah, but he also, he it's sort of like the sitcoms from the 90s, like Home Improvement and, Coach.
Yeah.
Where if you watch those, you're like, yeah, these are feminist shows. They're like, men are bad, and without the women in their lives, they can barely put on their pants in the morning. You know, that's the way they portrayed people, especially.
This would actually explain you.
I don't put on pants in the morning. Well, I just roll off the couch.
Here's what I would like to say. Yeah, you're a racist.
That's, I guess, what it is. I must be a racist. But the thing that was so funny is I said, I'm not a black person. I'm not a woman.
You're not even good looking.
No one has ever walked by and gone, wow, that's a good looking black woman. Oh, wait, no, that's Kevin. That's never happened to me in my life. Or they've never walked by and said, look at that hideous looking black woman. And it just, they always look at me and they're like, okay, that's Kevin.
Big fat, bald, white dude.
Big fat, bald, white guy. I point out, I am not the demographic. I'm not going to like this film. You may like it if you're in that demographic, but I personally didn't. And then there's other things I didn't like about it.
And you know what? In your defense, that is all we do.
Yeah.
As reviewers or critics, whatever you want to call us, all we do is we say, here's the context.
Yeah.
Here's what we think.
Well, and the thing is, there are people, if you go on the comment thread, and somebody's like, this is so biased, and how dare you give your opinion? How dare you let your opinion cloud this? I'm like, it's a movie review. It's nothing but opinion. It's like going on the op-ed page and saying, saying to Al Franken on his radio show, oh my gosh, you're just so liberal biased. It's Al Franken. Or going and saying Rush Limbaugh's conservative biased. That's what he does. It's all op-ed. And so I thought that was hilarious that I was being taken to task. And when she said, oh, your so-called movie review. Well, I reviewed the film. You just disagreed with me.
Right.
I got similarly flamed. There was a movie out last year called Something New, and it involved a black woman dating a white man. Mm-hmm. And I was just getting sick of watching it because I'm like going, the people who were all upset in this movie that this was happening weren't the white people in the movie. It was the black people. It was her family and her friends. Right. How dare you date a white man. And I'm like, well, that's kind of racist, don't you think? I mean, that's the, if that's the attitude, it's racist.
It was similar to a movie we saw earlier this year, Pride, where it was kind of that reverse racism where it was like,
yeah,
every white person except for like the swimming coach at the beginning was a racist.
Yeah, every white person was a racist. And you when you make that determination, and there's this really interesting DVD called Black White. It's a show that was on FX produced by Ice Cube. And what it is, it took a black family and a white family, and they used Hollywood makeup to make them switch races, and then they kind of put them out in society, saw what happened. And you know what happened? In general, they found a couple people that said some wrong things or whatever, but in general, white people didn't care. Right. White people reacted to the black people as they did to the white people. They, you know, there was this thing where they dressed the white guy up as a black guy, and then he and the black husband went to go try and see if somebody in a well-to-do parking lot would let them get a jump off their battery, and they found that they had no problem with it. Where they really found the racism was when they dressed the white woman as a black woman, and they had her go to down into like a really heavily urban black area, and they were so mad at and a lot of people there were really mad at the mixed race, and you know, apparently it's politically incorrect to point out that there's a lot of racism that comes from the black side. But everything I've seen is true, because I get slammed for that if I point out, well, I didn't like this. Well, you didn't like it because you're a racist. I'm like, no, I didn't like it because I was kind of thought the movie wasn't that good. You know, I did not walk into the movie.
And you're a racist.
Well, and I'm a racist. And the woman in the review, she's in her comment, she's like, wow, you, I like Denzel Washington movies just as much as I like Tom Hanks movies. You know, I saw the movie Antoine Fisher, which Denzel Washington directed. It's a great movie. I give it 5 stars. Right. I love that movie. I didn't look at it and say, well, Denzel directed it, so I didn't like it because I don't like the black man having the power of being the director.
Right.
I judge movies for what they are.
Right. It kind of goes back to the discussion we had last week about Warner Brothers not wanting to make any movies with women in the lead.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter who's in the lead. It doesn't matter if it's Jodie Foster or Christian Bale. Just, if it's a good movie, it's a good movie. If it sucks, it sucks.
Yeah, The Brave One was a crappy movie, and it had nothing to do with Jodie Foster in it.
Right.
It was a crappy movie because Terrence Howard was in it. Right. No, I'm just kidding. That's not why it was bad. It was a bad movie. It was a dumb movie. And Terrence Howard has been in good movies, and he's been in bad movies. You know, like the Craig Brewer movie.
Oh, Hustle and Flow. He was fantastic movie.
Fantastic film.
They had a white girl in it, though.
That's true. Taryn Manning. She's
she was
cute.
Pretty hot.
but okay. No, we got sidetracked.
I digress.
But that's the thing. I in my defense, people have jumped all over me because they're like, oh, you're such a racist because you didn't like this movie. I'm giving my opinion. I'm being honest here. And I don't think there's anything in that review that I've said or I've said on the air here that says, oh, well, that's a racist point of view. I just didn't like the film.
Except for the fact that I'm confirming the fact that you're totally a racist. It's
totally racist.
Yep.
Hold on a second.
What are we even talking about here?
I don't know.
Oh, the box office. So Tyler Perry's Why Did I Get Married, $21 million last week.
Did well, but it's not a record breaker either. It's not a huge...
But I tell you what, whatever demographic they were going for, they hit it.
Oh, they hit it. It did very well. Because it also, it's not just... Really what it is yeah, it's directed
it's
towards
a
black... It's a chick flick. That's the thing. It
That's totally
something
sexist.
Something that women... Yeah. But of course, if I point out that Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants is a
chick flick,
is a girl's movie, and I don't want to see it if I had a gun to my head, does that make me a sexist? I guess so.
Yes, but it still doesn't make it a good movie.
No, that's right.
Okay.
You know, Yaya Sisterhood, I could never see that, and I die a happy man.
Yep. So this week, our widest release is 30 Days of Night, a totally anti-vampire movie.
Yes.
It's
you're a bloodsucker.
Yes. And The Comebacks, which is a terrible parodyist movie. And Rendition, which there's plenty of racism in that movie.
It has Muslims that torture people in it.
Yeah, so I'm sure that's going to be good. Can't wait to see that Kevin Carr review.
you know, the only people that have flamed me more than stuff like my reviews for Something New and Why Did I Get Married, Peter Jackson fans really don't like me either.
Wow.
Because I
Peter
gave,
Jackson
like,
fans need to get laid.
I've given positive reviews to both Return of the King and King Kong, but I've always said they're way too long.
Way too long.
I've criticized them, but they've been overall positive reviews, and I get flamed like there's no tomorrow. That and Al Gore fans, they don't like me either.
Well, that's
but then again,
you're a douchebag.
It's Al Gore. He won the Nobel Peace Prize. What a
anyways.
Dork.
So what do you think? What's going to win the box office this week?
I would say 30 Days of Night.
I think it's going to be 30 Days of Night as well with Why Did I Get Married staying in a second. I don't think the comebacks is
good. Yeah, I don't know
but
if
then
anything,
again, the comebacks no, kind of has the dumb audience. Yeah. And there's a lot more of those than any other demographic that we have offended here.
If the black women all went to go see Why Did I Get Married,
the dumb
all
white
the
men.
Dumb white men are going to go see the comebacks yes. this weekend. But I don't see the comebacks doing that well. Although, right. you know what? Like, Epic Movie, like, did like $90 million its first yeah. weekend or whatever.
It was the box office leader for like 3 weeks
yeah.
in a row.
But
then
I don't see any of the fancy movies. I don't see Gone Baby Gone, Rendition. I think Rendition's way too preachy. I honestly think people when they go see movies, they see enough of the Iraq War and political mm-hmm. discussions on TV and
totally sick of it
that they're like, I don't want to go pay $12 and go see this movie about it too.
Right. Despite Reese Witherspoon's Puppy Dog Eyes.
Dude, she's pregnant and she's not naked, so it's not worth checking out.
Fair enough. Okay. So that officially brings us to the halfway point of our show. In the second half of the show, we're going to drop a little bit of a top 10 list on you, inspired by 30 Days of Night, the creepiest kids in cinema history. And we're also going to talk about some news, and we're going to wrap you up, and that's going to be all she wrote.
We're going to wrap you up. Yeah.
We'll be back. And we're back here on Fat Guys at the Movies. We, if you're listening to us on the internet, this is your segment.
If you're listening to us on the radio, you're not hearing this.
If you're listening to us on the on the internet, you heard the whole last segment where Kevin went off about not being a racist, and we pretty much deduced that he is. Anyways, moving along to our top 10 list of the week, the 10 creepiest kids in movie history, and we had to use a lot of Kevin Carr's expertise because as is well documented and recorded
Neil
on this show.
Neil hasn't seen 10 horror movies.
I'm pretty sure I haven't, but it was inspired by the girl from 30 Days of Night, little vampire
which
girl.
You don't know from the trailers, but you if you've seen the movie.
She is. If you've read the graphic novel, you know exactly what character
yeah,
we're talking
but she's
about
creepy. Although creepy. She didn't make the list because I don't think she's as well known.
Right. But after the movie comes out, maybe.
Yeah, maybe. She'll become an icon, but there are other creepier children, okay. But it's inspired by 30 Days of Night.
Cool. Well, let's start the list.
Number 10, Claudia from Interview with a Vampire. This was Kirsten Dunst, one of her best performances, and strangely
this is
the sexiest
Marie
performance.
Antoinette.
You know, I mean, some strange reason. She's a young girl who becomes a vampire, and she's what's creepy about her, she's beautiful, yet horrible and bloodthirsty. And
she has really bad teeth.
No, she has good teeth. They start out bad, and then they turn good when she turns into a vampire.
Oh, that's right, because she has vampire teeth.
Yeah.
So she
so if
doesn't
you
have like
save
her
money,
real Kirsten Dunst teeth.
Yeah, they don't. Well, they hadn't completely like morphed into her face of adulthood yet. So
nice.
She was good. I mean, she's creepy, and she's one of the best things in that movie.
Yeah. Number 9,
Lil Zombie.
I believe is a rapper.
Rapper from the original Night of the Living Dead. Lil Zombie, I don't know what her name really is, but that's what I call her. She is the girl in the basement who got bitten by one of the zombies and eventually turns and kills her mother with a trowel and then eats her.
Sweet.
Yummy.
Number 8, I know this one, is Reagan from...
Not Ronald Reagan.
Reagan from The Exorcist, the little girl who has a little bit of a go-round with a cross.
Crucifix, actually. Let Jesus...
Well, crucifix, I'm sorry.
You know.
Yeah, you get the point. Yes. Creepy.
Yeah. Moving I saw on. That. A funny thing about that, I was a friend of mine in high school who was very, you know, big prayer warrior, and we all cut class one day, and we were getting movies, and one of us grabbed The Exorcist, and we started watching it. She was not pleased with that scene. She was pretty upset at that scene. But she couldn't leave the room because it would have made a big... She was kind of trapped in the corner.
Nice.
No, we gave her a crucifix. No.
I think, you know what? I have some friends that I'd like to do that to.
Yeah.
That are just, you know...
Like Robert Tilton?
Bible-toting... Freaks.
Well, at the end, I got to talk about Robert Tilton. Just a little bit. Just a little bit.
All right.
This is the internet segment. We can say
keep going
things.
Here.
All right, number 7, Gage from Pet Sematary. If you've ever seen that film, he's a cute, adorable kid. You've seen him in a bunch of bunch of movies, he's the kid from Kindergarten Cop who goes like, boys have a penis and girls have a vagina.
Yeah, and this one he's kind of a psycho.
And well, in this one he's a cute little kid who gets killed and then resurrected with a demon inside of him and he murders people.
Fair enough.
Creepy. Creepy nice. Kid. Number six. This is another one you don't know. Another Stephen King reference. Joe King, who is the kid really doesn't have a name in the film, but he's played by Joe King, which is Stephen King's son. Right. And as we all know, Stephen King is kind of a weird-looking guy anyways, and his son's kind of weird-looking. And in this, he plays a child who seeks revenge with a voodoo doll on his father after the guy takes away his horror comic.
Nice. Nice.
I've been there. I know what that's like.
Number five is Samara, the girl from The Ring.
That's right. And also from Scary Movie 3.
There's nothing you could say to that.
They did a great job, actually.
Good one, bad
her.
One. Yeah. What can I say?
Creepy, but, you know, that's sort of that very Japanese horror with the stringy hair over her face and all that good stuff. All
right. If I ever met her on the street, I would run.
Right into her arms and make out.
It's the pedophilia.
That's right. Gets you. The hard candy. Number one. Number four, The Children in general from Village of the Damned. Just not the John Carpenter one, because that one kind of sucked, along there with John Carpenter's Vampires that you saw. But The Children were the ones with the kind of creepy eyes that glowed, and that's a great little film from the 60s based on the Midwich Cuckoos, written by David Wyndham. Definitely one of the creepiest kids in cinema. Next for you.
The boy from The Grudge.
That's right.
Is this, I mean, are we talking The American Grudge? Are we talking like
either one? I mean, The American. I haven't actually seen. I think it's pronounced Ju-on or whatever.
Whatever.
I sort of said that in a French accent. Ju-on.
Some non-American name.
Yeah, something. But
oh god, we just offended foreigners.
But see, you're a racist now. You're a racist.
I'm a nationalist.
You're a hooker. So, the boy from the he was scary in the Grudge, not so scary in the sequel. But very similarly shot and designed
but
for the Japanese version.
Mary Elizabeth Winstead was in the sequel, so.
Okay.
She's hot.
Yeah, she's hot, but just her presence in a movie doesn't make it good.
Yeah, it does.
Oh, it does?
Anyways, moving along.
Do I need to start pulling out movies that
she's been number two, this was another. This is actually one of my suggestions, the Grady girls from The Shining.
Yes. The two.
If there are any two kids that haunted my dreams, it was the two little girls from The Shining.
That's right. Not the kid screaming Red Room, not Danny. The girls the that girls. Got chopped up by the axe.
Yep. So.
And then number one, what list would not be complete without our good friend.
Spawn of Satan himself.
Damien from The Omen. And I have to say, to me it's kind of a toss-up between both. I mean, the sequels, meh. But the remake, a couple years, last year,
pretty
that
good.
Was a creepy kid too. Mm-hmm. I liked the remake of The Omen, but both kids were creepy. And in fact, that final scene of the original Omen, where the kid's looking over his shoulder and he starts smiling, and it looks so creepy, that's really the kid trying not to laugh.
Right.
And the director, Richard Donner, saying, don't laugh. Don't laugh.
Right.
Don't laugh. And the kid's trying not to crack up.
Right.
But it turned out to be incredibly
creepy.
Turns out
to be one of the creepier scenes ever in cinematic history.
Absolutely. Now, honorable mention, let's do The Playful Girl from 30
Days of Night. The Playful Girl from 30 Days of Night.
Yes.
Very creepy. She wants to eat people. She meets a very terrifying end.
Yes.
But it's lots of fun. You don't expect it.
Lots of fun. That's how you define fun.
You don't expect this kind of child violence from a movie.
Yes.
But then it hits you and you're like, wow, that really was really not that.
You're an expert on child violence now.
Yes,
too.
I am.
The other honorable mention, we'll say Belial from Basket Case. If you've ever seen the Basket Case movies, he was a sort of like one of those ingrown twins that decided to... They kept in a basket.
Well,
not really a child because he was an adult.
Think about
creepy
it.
Thing.
What about little Michael Myers? Does he count?
Yeah, I mean he does. I think to a degree, but he was so.
If you
minor
count Rob Zombie's
film,
movie,
well,
he was three
no,
quarters
that kid,
of the film.
That kid was terrible. That kid was like Rob Zombie's nightmare of childhood.
Yes,
I hated that film.
And Robert Tilton? Did you want
to
say
let's
Robert
talk about
Tilton
Robert
thing?
Tilton, the farting preacher. I just ran into this stuff this week. I know it's been out there for it's like the Star Wars kids. It's been around, and if you don't know who Robert Tilton is, he's a televangelist who's been in and out of jail for you know money issues and that sort of thing. And he's a real sleaze bag. I mean, I saw a statistic that they said he uses 80% of his airtime to pound the streets for money, and he tells people that basically his message is, send me $1,000 even if you don't have it, and God will reward you by giving you more money.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy's a complete work. And if you've not seen the Farting Preacher episode, go to fartingpreacher.org. Not .com, .org, because I think it's a nonprofit organization. And so go to fartingpreacher.org, and you can download them. They're 5 videos where they take a whole bunch of his preaching, and they put fart sounds on it.
Yeah.
Absolutely hilarious.
You know who would really enjoy this?
Me.
Our good. Well, besides you.
I loved it. It's genius.
And apparently my roommate as well loved it.
You laughed. I saw you laugh.
I did laugh. But our friends over at Strong Words Incorporated.
They need to see this.
They need to see this.
Strong Words,
we'll have
you
to
need
send
to
them an email. See what they have to
but
say.
But the funniest tag on this is if you actually try and search it, you cannot find the original clips on YouTube because they've been removed. Because YouTube, if you were to have something, if I had a film that I made and you put it up on YouTube, I could go to YouTube and say, hey, look, you don't own the copyright to this, take it down. So since it takes all these clips of Robert Tilton's ministries shows, puts it together, I'm assuming that his lawyers went and contacted YouTube and said these links. But what's so funny about it is he had to go hire lawyers to search the internet for farting preacher movies, find them, and then I would love to see the cease and desist letters. The lawyer, please remove farting preacher from your listing as it violates international copyright law or something like that.
Right.
The fact that Robert Tilton has to hire people to look for farting preacher videos, I'd do it for free. that's all I'm saying, man.
That's all we have to say. We've got to go to a break. We'll be back in a minute. And we're back here at Fat Guys at the Movies. This segment we call the Fat Guy Sound Off.
Yes, we do.
We're going to run through some topics, and we're going to see what we think. So the first topic...
What our big fat opinions are on
Yes, first topic of the week, Kevin. Christina Milian, Shannon Sossaman, and Mary Elizabeth Winstead are all in the running for the Wonder Woman role in the upcoming Justice League of America movie. Who's your pick?
Okay, so this isn't the one with Jessica Biel and what's her name?
They've trashed that because they don't like women anymore at Warner Brothers.
Oh, that's right. They're not.
This is the Justice League movie that they're gonna.
So she'll have a supporting role. Let's see. First of all, I think Christina Milian's a beautiful girl. I'd love to see her do more stuff. The biggest problem that she has is she's really kind of short. I mean, I don't think she'd be good for the role because she's a short little girl, and Wonder Woman's an Amazon.
Right.
So, and Shannon Sossaman's a whack job, so I'd say no. But Mary Elizabeth Winstead, I think, could pull it off.
I'm saying Mary Elizabeth Winstead, and this is why, because it is...
Because she's hot.
And it's also...
Christina Milian is totally hot, too.
But I've also made the statement before that if Mary Elizabeth Winstead is in a movie, I instantly like it. So far, she's 2 for 2 this year. Grindhouse and Live Free or Die Hard.
Okay, great. So. You said that about Kate Beckinsale, but then you saw Click.
Yeah, but that was only bearable because she was in it. All right, moving on. You're next.
Simon Pegg is going to play Scotty in the new Star Trek. Good or bad?
Horrendously bad on this one. I love Simon Pegg in a way that a film critic shouldn't really love an
actor.
It's
creepy. He's got pictures in his bedroom. It's disgusting.
But I don't think that he is right for
the role of Scotty in Star Trek. With Simon Pegg's head.
Here's what I think, and there's a lot of chatter on the internet. J.J. Abrams is not doing well with the Star Trek thing, especially with his casting. It is just not going well. This is one John Cho as Sulu, the guy from Harold and Kumar. I'm sorry, but the MILF guy.
Well, but it's also Sulu was so stoic. I mean, John Cho, he's not.
He's very expressionist. And,
well, he's a different type of actor. He's not
same,
that, that.
And it's the same thing with Simon Pegg. He's to Simon Pegg for that role.
Well, what it's going to turn into is you're going to be like, hey, it's Star Trek with the guy from Shaun of the Dead and the MILF kid from American Pie. And
that's the problem. I think they should have gone, less known.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, kind of like what they did with Watchmen.
Well, they did that with Chris Pine as
Kirk.
Chris Pine, I don't think he's a great Kirk.
Right.
I would have preferred Matt Damon. I can't believe I'm saying that.
Yes. Well, speaking of other decisions on casting, Carl Lord of the Rings Urban is going to be playing Bones. Is this a good or is this bad?
You know what? I'm not a huge Carl Urban fan, but the one thing he doesn't have that everybody else has is that recognizability.
Right.
Kind of like, oh, I think I've seen him in something before. He could make a good Bones. He's not a bad actor, but he hasn't done a whole lot of great stuff.
Right. I think it's better than Simon Pegg.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Not as good as Zachary Quinto as Spock. He's fantastic.
Yeah, he'd be
great.
That initial casting, that's great. But
so Abrams got the first one right. Since then, downhill.
Well, at least Greg Grunberg's not going to show up as He'd be Scotty, just not with an accent. Yep. Just be Scotty sitting there. He's like, how'd you get in here? Well, I know the director. Went to school together. That's how it works. Heroes, you know what his power is in Heroes? Mm. To be in movies with J.J. Abrams.
Nice.
That's his power.
Nice.
All right. Okay. The new Rambo movie has changed its name from John Rambo to Rambo to Hell and Back to simply Rambo in just under a week. Do we really care?
No, we don't care. Here's what you need to do, Sly Stallone. Let me give you some advice. Nobody cares about the title. You could call it Rambo, Fuzzy Bunny's Attack. Just
give us
a poster, give us a trailer, release the movie, kill a bunch of people, and we're all going to go see it. I don't care what it's called.
I would love to see John Rambo mowing down Fuzzy Bunnies. That would be awesome.
So that's all I have to say about it. Who gives a crap what it's called? Just make the movie, put it out. I mean,
they wring their hands over the name of movies all the time in Hollywood.
And you know what? The most disturbing story I heard about this all week was the fact that Sly Stallone apparently called Harry Knowles after they changed it to Rambo to Hell and Back, and it was like, hey, listen, what do you think? And Harry Knowles is like, no way, dude.
No, this is how it wasn't like that. It was like, hello, what do you think?
Right.
Well, and then Harry Knowles was like eating chips or something like that and was like, oh, well, I think it's not good.
Right. And so then they changed the name.
That's a better rendition of what happened.
It really, seriously, doesn't matter what
the only reason I think they took the whole To Hell and Back title out was you sometimes have trouble because that's technically profanity, I guess, and some papers won't advertise it. Because they originally were going to call Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey, they're going to call that Bill and Ted Go to Hell.
Right.
And there was a movie out once called The Pope Must Die, and they had to change the name to The Pope Must Diet, and they like put a graffiti T on it just so that you wouldn't have trouble in smaller papers and smaller venues not putting it on, you know, marquees and stuff.
Well, the point is,
but does it matter if it's Rambo or John Rambo?
No, and it releases January 25th.
Do they think about maybe calling it Rambo 4? Apparently, that one slipped their mind.
Exactly. It's very stupid that we're even reporting this.
Yes. But we really spent the most talking about
this. We just didn't
this.
Have anything else to go
the
on.
The heck with J.J. Abrams and
Mary Elizabeth Winstead is hot, by the way.
Okay, that's
just
great.
To go back to
you could have said
from before.
They're going to change the name to Rambo, Mary Elizabeth Winstead naked. And then sell more tickets.
Speaking of hot ladies, reports coming out of the Universal camp that say that Robert Rodriguez is putting the production of Barbarella at risk because the studio doesn't want Rose McGowan and it's his girlfriend. So what do you think? Is this dumb or is this...
Well, is it dumb that Universal's got its panties in a bunch over this?
About Rose McGowan?
Yeah, absolutely. It's dumb. It's Barbarella for crying. It starred Jane Fonda. I mean, if you don't have a more caustic of a name in the 60s and 70s, it's Jane Fonda. I mean, really what they should have done is they should have gotten like Janine Garofalo to kind of stick with the premise of wacky, wacky political chicks.
Right.
But, you know, who's somebody going to, oh my gosh, you're tainting the grand image of Barbarella. Have you seen the original movie?
It's terrible.
It's absolute drug trip. So no, I think Universal is being silly. And the only reason I think that they have the ability now to balk is because Grindhouse bombed.
Oh, there you go.
If Grindhouse had made $50 million on the first weekend, they would have been like anybody.
I don't blame Robert Rodriguez either because she's pretty hot. And
hey, as long as she
wants
that,
a part in that movie.
As long as she wears that see-through cover top thing, I'm cool with it.
Yeah.
As long as you don't like do somebody like Gwyneth Paltrow in it.
Oh, please. Cool. Well, that's all we have.
There we go. And we're out of time anyway, so we got to move on, and we're going to wrap up the show when we get back. Welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies, and we are wrapping up another show. It's a sad time. We're all crying here at this magical studio in the sky because we have to say goodbye to our loyal fans, all 12 of them across the United States.
Another one down.
Woo! Woohoo!
We've now successfully survived 35 episodes.
That's right. We're rocking ahead. And let's talk about the movies we talked about this week. The ones that I've seen and the one
the one
that Neil has seen.
Yes.
Gone Baby Gone.
What'd you say?
That one I said kind of rocked.
Okay. And how about Rendition?
Rendition kind of sucked. Actually, no, I think I gave that a full-blown suck.
Full-blown suck. Full-blown you were very suck. Angry. Things We Lost in the Fire.
Another full-blown suck. I don't think I said that, but Lots of suckage going on there.
The comebacks, we have to give a preemptive suck because it was not screened, and it's pretty obvious at this point.
That's written in the tablets brought down from Mount Sinai.
And 30 Days of Night, your official grade?
Kind of rocked.
I say totally rocks. One of the best movies I've seen in the last couple months.
Okay. So. Well, you haven't seen very many. You've seen, what, like six?
Like six, yeah.
So that was the movies that we had this weekend, and we also are going to be looking ahead to next week where we're going to talk about Dan in Real Life, starring Steve Carell and my favorite actor,
Dane Cook.
Saw 4, which there's just no chance that they're going to screen that for us.
Although you may get a screening, like a secret Kevin screening.
No, not from Lionsgate for a horror movie.
Okay, fine.
But we may actually go and check this out at midnight. It's a possibility. Go check it out at midnight. Come in, record
you
a late show.
You may be checking it out at midnight.
Oh, you're such a weirdo. We'll see. And then we're also going to hit some limited stuff since this week we had all this wide stuff coming out.
Mm-hmm.
Next week we only have two big wide releases, so we'll probably hit on a couple other films like the Darjeeling Limited, The Assassination of Jesse James by the Coward Robert Ford.
Yes, and we're going to explore movies with really long titles.
Yes. Like it's a mad, 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 mad world.
Okay.
The Assassination of Jesse James by Coward Robert Ford could also be renamed It's a Bad, 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 Bad Film.
Wow. And that's a preview for you.
That's a little bit of a
cool.
Guess what my review is going to be.
Anywho, if you'd like to get in touch with us one final time, the newly redesigned FatGuysTheMovies.com once again. Got a new design. Thank you to our lovely web designer, Richard Murphy, who put that together for us. Looking great. Also, iTunes, the iTunes store. Search Fat Guys the Movies. We pop right up. Please leave us some reviews there. We need one review. We don't have any. So if you feel compelled to say something, even if it's that Kevin is a racist, put it on there. Let's do it. Also, if you'd like
to... Now they're going to come out of the woodwork.
It's on now. Also, if you'd like to email us, fatguys@filmschoolrejects.com, and please give us a call, 614-388-8735. It's so much more fun if we can play it on the air. That's all I have to say.
Adios.